Eat Drink Indiana Radio is powered by EatDrinkIndy.com, where Central Indiana turns to learn about food from farm to fork and drink from grains to glass.
Welcome to Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI HD to the Point. I'm your host, Jolene Katzenberger. This week on Eat Drink Indiana Radio, on your Thanksgiving weekend, we are wrapping up one holiday and moving on to the next one. So as you can imagine, we have got a lot going on this week. First off, and this is a fun one, we've got a Q&A with celebrity chef Mario Batali, who was in town last Saturday for a book signing at Market District. And that Q&A was so fun that I decided to ask some of the same questions of our local chefs at this year's Eat Drink Indy Chef's Thanksgiving Dinner. So we'll hear from local chefs Tom England, Alan Sternberg, Andrew Whitmoyer, Cindy Hawkins, and Ed Sawyer, as well as restaurateur Chris Baggett and Wilkes & Wilson's Zach Wilkes. And speaking of dinners, I also checked out a traditional Norwegian lutefisk dinner with members of the Circle City Lodge of the Sons of Norway. So we'll hear about that this week as well. And we'll meet Sarah Risley, who'll be bringing you a new regular radio feature here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio. So stay with us for more here on WFYI and WFYI.org. Well, it has been a busy week here at Eat Drink Indiana Radio, and I can't wait to fill you in on all the fun food stuff I've been up to, especially last week's interview with celebrity chef, restaurateur, and cookbook author Mario Batali. He was in town for a book signing last Saturday at Market District in Carmel, where long lines of fans were waiting to pick up a copy of America Farm to Table. And he also made some time for local food writers, but with one catch. Each of us would only get a few minutes. So, to make the most of my time, I ask Mario a list of this or that questions, you know, like ham or turkey, cake or pie. It was a lot of fun and even a little surprising.
Holiday dinners in general, ham or turkey?
Thanksgiving turkey, Christmas ham.
Right. Turkey, stuffed or dressing on the side?
I put the dressing on the side.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows or no marshmallows?
Dang. When no one's looking, marshmallows. Other than that, no. Pomegranates. I do pomegranates on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's
yeah, it's good and it's sweet, but it's not so trashy, you know? The marshmallow council has a lot of work to do.
Okay, so stuffing. Bread, cornbread, or oyster?
I grew up with oyster. This year's cornbread, but I'll use anything from brioche to this week. On the Chew on Wednesday, you're going to see Carla goes to this crazy bakery, and we made a stuffing with bagels. It was, everyone said, we tasted it. It is the future of our stuffings. Bagels next.
Really?
Yep. Because they held their texture so well. There was a nice little chew, right? They were using day-old bagels out of this crazy bakery that's really smart. It was outstanding. So next year, bagel. Next year, I'm going to do the cuisine of the, like, I always choose a theme. Last year was Alsace-Lorraine. The year before it was Madrid and Barcelona. Next year is going to be the Jewish deli culture of Northeastern Europe. That will be my Thanksgiving theme.
Pumpkin pie or apple?
Apple.
But pie in general, cake and pie in general, cake or pie?
Pie.
That's my kind of thing. Love pie.
I grew up in Washington State, and for us, the summer started when we would go out and pick two full station wagons, fulls of blackberries, because they were free. It wasn't that we were foragers. We were inexpensively moderated. So we would make enough jam and pie to last the year. And we would make 52 pies and put them in the freezer, because we had giant freezers on the West Coast. Pop a pie in the oven every Sunday. Blackberry.
Oh, my God.
Nothing like it.
See, now, if I had blackberries, I would make cobbler.
Yeah?
Just because my folks are from Kentucky.
There you go. Well, you Southern people are like that. But us pie people out in the West Coast, it was a lard or Crisco crust, right? And it was outstanding.
Okay, again, in general, red or white wine?
Start with the white, finish with the red.
What about sparkling?
Love sparkling. That even precedes the white wine. I don't really love sparkling for dessert. People pop out the champagne after that, but a little Moscato's nice because it's lower in alcohol. Sorry, I'm not giving you one word answers, am I?
It's even better.
I'm bad at this.
Okay, chef knives, German or Japanese?
American.
Wow, all right. So tell me about your chef knives.
I have a bunch. There's a crazy guy in the West Coast, Kramer. Fantastic. I mean, and it's all the right stuff, but I'm pretty sure he uses Japanese steel.
Speaking of chefs and stuff in the news lately, Bourdain or Fieri?
I love them both. I don't consider, well, Fieri's more of a chef. Bourdain's not a chef. He knows that. He hasn't worked in a restaurant in 30 years. But his opinions are important. And that Bourdain, that Fieri still responds, just means Bourdain's under his skin, which is good. It's good for the tabloids.
Okay, so you like to cook breakfast for the kids. Yes. I have read that.
It's my last year. My last son, my second son, is going to college next year, so.
My last one just went this year. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Okay. Bacon or sausage?
Sausage for Leo, bacon for Benno.
Oh, okay. So
and I'm a short order cook. I have the Batali Brothers breakfast menu still from when they were 6 and 5. They get to choose anything they want, and I'll make it every day. Aww. It's not one thing only. They can have whatever they want.
What kind of eggs?
For me... over easy with white truffles and Fontina.
Really?
Which is also on the menu in the fall.
Exactly. So do the kids like that kind
Benno of? And Leo both like scrambled, and they like them a little harder than I would like them. Leo's more of a huevos rancheros, and Benno is just scrambled with cheese.
Well, speaking of sausage, I've read your, you know, Italian-style biscuits and gravy, but do you like our biscuits and gravy, our sort of southern sausage biscuits and gravy?
Yes. It's rich. You shouldn't eat that every day, though. I can warn all of you who are listening to you. You can have that once a month. I'm sorry.
And I have a kid who I'd be making it every Sunday.
Right, that, of course, because it's so delicious, but so are many other things. You must learn not to have it every day.
Exactly right. Okay, thinking of craft beer now, hoppy or not?
I grew up on a hop farm in Washington State. I love hoppy, but not to the obsessive level that these hopheads bring it. I still want it delicious. Like, for me, Pilsner Kell is a magnificent beer. Slightly hoppy for the American palate, but not like this. I can't describe how my face is looking. But it can't be astringent. It still needs to be refreshing and quaffable. Beer is not something... Like, a lot of the craft beer guys think beer is a meditative drink. No, for me, it's a glug, 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 glug.
Liquor in general, brown or white?
Brown liquor makes me think I'm invisible. White liquor doesn't make me think at all.
A Manhattan or an old fashioned?
Old fashioned.
All right. Vodka or gin martini?
Again, gin makes me behave like I'm invisible. Vodka, I at least have my feet on the ground. So a real gin martini is the way to have a martini, but you can't have four. Four is a problem. Yeah, exactly.
So summer in Michigan, Lake Perch or Walleye?
Walleye. No, but come on. Lake Perch is good, too. But Walleye's just a little more sophisticated.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, right. Cherries or blueberries?
Cherries.
Corn on the cob, boiled or grilled?
Grilled.
All right. Speaking of grilling, gas or charcoal?
Charcoal wood.
Oh, that was my next question. Okay. Briquettes or wood? Mackinac City or Mackinac Island?
Mackinac Island is 1 or 2 days a year. Mackinac City is a place to actually go.
Fudge or pasties?
Pasties.
Yeah. Do you make pasties?
Of course we do. We make them, and we serve them with hot sauce, not with a canned gravy out of a jar.
Rutabagas in the pasties?
Essential.
Okay. You have embraced Michigan.
I have, and I love it.
We've been talking with celebrity chef Mario Batali. His new book, America, Farm to Table, is available at local bookstores. For more information, go to MarioBatali.com. We talk with a lot of chefs here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio and spend a lot of time in restaurant kitchens. But it's also fun to get people out of the kitchen as well. To do that and to find out what they like to cook at the holidays, I planned a dinner a couple of years ago that kind of turned into an annual event. Chef's Thanksgiving has become a pitch-in dinner for local chefs and food types around town, and local food fans Chef Tom England and Karen Mangia have hosted it, which gives me an opportunity to talk to the chefs about their pitch-in dishes. And this year, inspired by that fun interview we just heard with Mario Batali, I decided to ask our local chefs some of the same questions. We start out with Chef Tom England of Ivy Tech Community College, who roasted the turkeys for the dinner, local pasture-raised turkeys from Tyner Pond Farm.
So the turkey, they were smaller than usual, but they were an heirloom variety. So when I got them, I saw how small they were to begin with. But also, the breast was such dark in color, I was blown away. I didn't know what to do, quite truthfully. So
no
I knew,
way.
Yeah, because with heirlooms, you don't know about the fat content. You don't know about how it's going to cook. It's going to cook completely different. So I did inject it with a 10% brine, let it set overnight in the cooler so that the outside was dry, and then smoked it. Smoked it using chestnut shells. So we'd shelled all these chestnuts. We had all these shells, so we smoked it 185 degrees for a couple hours, and then finished it today. And so I smoked it on Friday, let it set for a couple of days, and that way the smoke penetrates a little bit more into the skin, into the meat, and then cooked it very low temperature until it was cooked to 160 degrees on the inside and let it carry over cook. But I did, right before I cooked it today, I put it in a 500-degree oven for 15 minutes, crisp up the skin a little bit on the outside.
Holiday dinners in general, ham or turkey?
Oh, geez, ham.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows or not?
No.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pumpkin or apple?
Apple.
Chef knives, German or Japanese?
German.
Breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
Waffles, without a doubt.
Bacon or sausage?
Bacon.
Biscuits and gravy, yes or no?
I'm lactose intolerant, so no.
Red wine or white?
Red.
Liquor in general, brown or white?
Brown.
A Manhattan or an old-fashioned?
Manhattan.
Martini, vodka or gin?
Gin.
Craft?
And I hate gin. The true martini has to be gin. I don't know where this vodka came up.
Craft beer, hoppy or not so much?
Ooh, not so much.
We also talked with Alan Sternberg, executive chef at Cerulean Restaurant in Indianapolis, about his popular Brussels sprouts, as well as that list of questions.
So these are fried, and then they're tossed with a, call it a sweet and spicy, if you will. It's a gochujang, honey, sesame oil, lime juice, apple cider vinegar. Oh, fish sauce. Lots of fish sauce. Some salt and ginger.
Holiday dinners, ham or turkey?
Ooh, ham probably. I like pork a lot.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows or not?
Neither. I don't like eating sweet potatoes.
Cake or pie?
Pie probably. I'm not a big cake person. I cannot make a cake. In school we made layer cakes and mine was like, it was like paper thin. Like it didn't rise one bit and I was just sad.
All right. If it's pie, apple or pumpkin?
Cherry.
Chef knives, German or Japanese?
Ooh, that is a debate right there. French. I know. No, I use a Sabatier most of the time. It's carbon steel. It's made in theirs, France, and I love the knife. So it's a little bit different blade style than the German. It's a little bit closer to the Asian, just on the fact that it's a thinner blade. It's carbon steel. It just works well.
Breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
You're not going to like it, but I don't like either one.
Bacon or sausage?
Sausage.
Biscuits and gravy, yes or no?
Yes.
Red wine or white?
Probably red. It really depends on if I'm eating or not.
Liquor in general, brown or white?
Brown.
A Manhattan or an old fashioned?
Old fashioned.
Martini, vodka or gin?
Gin.
Craft beer, hoppy or not so much?
Depends. I know, I'm difficult. You know this about me. No, I'm never really decisive on anything. It's in the moment. So, I mean, there's time and a place for everything.
Andrew Whitmoyer, executive chef at Thunderbird in Fountain Square, told us about his classic corn casserole and gave us his list of answers as well.
I keep doing dishes that we did as when I was growing up. So my aunt always did a corn casserole, and I've always loved it. Like, it's extremely basic dish, but I loved it. So I added a little jalapeno to it to kind of spice it up. But, yeah.
Is it one of your favorites?
It is. I always have that, and cheesy potatoes I did last year. It's like corn casserole and cheesy potatoes always have a big spot on my plate. So.
Yeah, the cheesy potatoes were very good, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
And very popular, so the queen, there's nothing left for you to take home with the corn casserole.
I have no corn casserole left. I'm kind of bummed.
Holiday dinners, ham or turkey?
Turkey.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows or not?
Marshmallow.
Cake or pie?
Cake.
Chocolate or something else?
Chocolate.
Chef knives, German or Japanese?
Japanese.
Breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
Oh, both? Can you do pancakes and waffles?
Bacon or sausage?
Bacon.
Biscuits and gravy, yes or no?
Yeah.
Red wine or white?
Red.
Liquor in general, brown or white?
Brown.
A Manhattan or an old fashioned?
Old fashioned.
Martini, vodka, or gin?
Gin.
Craft beer, hoppy or not so much?
I'm not so much right now.
What does a pastry chef bring to a Thanksgiving pitchin? Dessert, of course. But Cindy Hawkins of Circle City Sweets also answered our list of food and drink questions, too.
Well, this was our tart that we did for the World Food Championship. So it's a sweet dough pastry crust. And then we did some of our salted, house-made salted caramel as a base layer, sprinkled on a little bit of candied pecans, and then really nice cinnamon mousse. And then over that, we diced up some apples, sautéed with some a little bit of butter, some sugar, and vanilla bean, lots of vanilla bean, and put that on top, and then just drizzled some more of the caramel and some more of the candied pecans. It's yummy.
Holiday dinners, ham or turkey?
Turkey.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows, or not?
Oh, no. That's just, like, wrong.
Cake or pie?
I'm going to go pie.
Pumpkin or apple?
Apple.
Chef knives, German or Japanese?
Oh, yeah, I'm a baker. I don't really care. My husband will say that's so still wrong, but I don't have a clue.
Breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
Ooh. You know, it just depends on the mood, I'd say.
Bacon or sausage?
Again, kind of depends. More sausage, probably.
Biscuits and gravy, yes or no?
Absolutely not. Oh,
not.
The whole idea of gravy on my breakfast food is so wrong. I didn't grow up with that. I don't eat it. Nope.
Red or white wine?
Red.
Liquor in general, brown or white?
Ooh, white.
A Manhattan or an old fashioned?
Uh-huh. I'm going to go on that one and Manhattan.
Martini, vodka or gin?
Gin.
Craft beer, hoppy or not so much?
Not so much.
Ed Sawyer, chef de cuisine at Pizzology Craft Pizza and Pub in the village of West Clay, explained his Thanksgiving dish and took on that list of questions, too.
So I made a turkey liver pate with a sweet roll, carrot puree, and cranberry chutney. And I made it just to kind of make Thanksgiving in a bite. But it was really inspired by the fact that every year at my aunt's Thanksgiving, there's one item that's always offered by just my cousin Seth and I, and that's just the sautéed turkey livers that no one else wants. And so I just want to elevate this thing that nobody really likes to eat. It's just everyone gets it because it comes with the turkey and it's there, and you either give it to the dog and kind of put it in the forefront. And also because I think I'm going to arrive late at my Thanksgiving this year and there won't be any left.
Holiday dinners, ham or turkey?
Turkey.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows or not?
No marshmallows.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pumpkin or apple?
Pumpkin.
Chef knives, German or Japanese?
Japanese. Oh, wait. Japanese in the German style.
Oh, okay. Breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Bacon or sausage?
Bacon.
Biscuits and gravy, yes or no?
Yes.
Farmer and restaurateur Chris Baggett of Tyner Pond Farm and the Mug in Greenfield pitched in as well and also answered those questions.
Well, we made husk squash souffle with maple syrup, sorry, I have to remember, maple syrup from Lace Farms. It's called Locust Farms. They're in Hancock County. We also used lard to cook the squash in. Then we pureed it, used the maple syrup and eggs from Tyner Pond Farm, of course. So, yes.
Well, all right.
The only thing that wasn't local, I think, was the nutmeg.
I've got some questions for you, okay?
Okay.
Holiday dinners, ham or turkey?
Oh, turkey.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows or not?
No marshmallows.
Cake or pie?
I'm a pie guy.
Apple or pumpkin?
Wow, that apple pie we had tonight was so good. So I'm going to try and make a pumpkin pie this year from scratch. Okay. So from a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Pumpkin, not from a can of
pumpkin. No. Scratch, 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 like a pumpkin. Leftover from pumpkins.
Chef knives, German or Japanese?
German.
Breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
Ooh, I think I'll go pancakes.
Bacon or sausage?
Always bacon.
Biscuits and gravy, yes or no?
No biscuits and gravy. I'm not Southern. I'm a Yankee.
Red wine or white?
Red.
Liquor in general, brown or white?
White.
A Manhattan or an Old Fashioned?
Old Fashioned, but I would drink white.
Martini, vodka or gin?
Gin.
Craft beer, hoppy or not so much?
Hoppy.
We also had a killer punch at the chef's Thanksgiving dinner, courtesy of Zach Wilkes of Wilkes & Wilson, and he answered those food and drink questions, too.
I wanted to go with warm fall flavors. You know, the holidays are such a time for family and socializing and things like that, so I picked spirits that are known for warmer flavors and baking spices that kind of go along with the holidays. So I chose Plantation Fiber Rum, which is a really great aged rum. It's got a lot of flavors like vanilla and caramel and things like that. And then I went with the Pierre Ferrand 1840 Cognac. And then it also has a really nice Ruby Port, Wilson Wilson Gum, Wilson Wilson Aromatic Bitters, fresh squeezed lime juice. And that's it.
It was delicious. Now, how did you come up with those flavors?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I throw a lot of stuff down the sink. So sometimes things really work out, and, you know, another reason that I picked the things that I did were things that have always, like, port's been really essential for all the holiday dinners with my family and things like that. So I wanted to kind of build in all those Thanksgiving traditions to go along with it as well, and you just kind of experiment until things work. Like I said, you end up throwing a lot of stuff away in the meantime, but it worked out pretty good.
Holiday dinners, ham or turkey?
Turkey.
Sweet potatoes, marshmallows or not?
Not.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pumpkin or apple?
Pecan? Sorry.
Chef knives, German or Japanese?
I'm a German guy.
Breakfast, pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Bacon or sausage?
Bacon.
Biscuits and gravy, yes or no?
Yes.
Red wine or white?
Oh, it depends. Geez, that's hard.
All right. Liquor in general, brown or white?
Brown.
A Manhattan or an Old Fashioned?
Old Fashioned.
A martini, vodka or gin?
Gin.
Craft beer, hoppy or not so much?
Malty, not so much hoppy. I'm into malty beers.
We've been talking with some of the attendees of this year's Chef's Thanksgiving Dinner. Check out my Facebook page for photos and play along with one of the party games at eatdrinkindy.com. It's not only a turkey dinner with all the trimmings that's traditional this time of year. It seems that a certain Scandinavian dinner is traditional, too. I'm talking about lutefisk dinners, like the one held recently at the King of Glory Lutheran Church in Carmel by the Circle City Lodge of the Sons of Norway. Now, lutefisk is rather notorious for what can be a strong smell and unusual flavor, and its gelatinous texture. So I knew what I was getting into when I agreed to try it, but really, it wasn't that bad. And I learned all about lutefisk, starting with Ted Danielson, who prepared it.
Lutefisk dinners are a Scandinavian tradition. Swedish, but even more so the Norwegians, have lutefisk for Christmas, holiday seasons. And in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Lutheran churches have lutefisk dinners all over the place, and people flock to them, try different ones. And so we felt like the Sons of Norway Club here in Indianapolis needed to try it one time.
Now, you had some people, even in the club, who had never had it. Is that right?
Oh, yes. There were many people in the club who hadn't had it before. But a lot of the older club members had had it as children, as part of their Scandinavian heritage. If they have Norwegian parents, they were likely exposed to it, and many of them would say, well, that was enough for them. But they were willing to try it again tonight. So
now you have it every year, right?
In my home, we have it every Christmas. I have had lutefisk for Christmas all of my life. I think I've only missed it on 3 occasions in my lifetime, and I'm now 69. So that's quite a few years. And my wife, the same. She grew up having lutefisk, and I think that's the reason why we can do it in our family still. That both my wife and I hang on to it as a tradition, and then we've imposed it upon our children and our grandchildren as well, because we still have it on usually Christmas Eve, but sometimes Christmas Day.
Now, you prepared it for this dinner. Now, tell me how you prepared it.
I was the one that held responsible for preparing it. I think I was picked out because I go around bragging about eating lutefisk and doing it so much. So they decided to put me on the spot and see if I could really do it. Our club president ordered the lutefisk from a fish store up in Minneapolis where it's prepared. The traditional way, it's exposed to some lye water and then rinsed and cleaned. And we got it frozen, and we rinsed it some more just to make sure it was free of lye. And then poached it, put it in a pan with just a little bit of water and in a hot oven until it had steamed and was done flaky. And a little bit like Jello.
It was kind of gelatinous, that's true.
It's gelatinous, so as I was serving it, and my hand shook a little bit, it shook like a bowl full of Jello.
Now tell me how you suggest people should eat it.
Well, the way I eat it is the way I suggest other people eat it, especially if it's for the first time. And that is with lefse, the flatbread made out of potatoes, some mashed potatoes on top of the lefse, and then just a little bit of lutefisk. Maybe the less you take, the better it is. And then salt and pepper and melted butter, and wrap that together and eat that. And I thought the lutefisk tonight was quite good. And so I was actually thinking of going back for seconds, but I didn't because I was full.
So did it come out tonight like you like to have it at home?
Yes, very, very close to that. It was flaky, but still gelatinous. And so it never gets any better than that. And I was real pleased with the quality of the fish tonight. Now, around the table, there's been people saying, oh, no, that's just as bad as always. And others said, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. So that's as good as you can expect. I'm quite happy with the outcome.
Burton Bittner of the Circle City Lodge of the Sons of Norway also talked a bit about the memories connected with the tradition of lutefisk dinners.
I just had the responsible for this dinner.
Now you showed me how to make it. Yeah, how to spread the mashed potatoes on there.
Correct.
So tell me what your advice is for eating lutefisk.
With care, lutefisk has a very delicate flavor, has a at times an interesting consistency, and sometimes we have to mix those flavors and consistencies with others. For example, as a child, I didn't like peas, or sometimes you have a problem with peas on your plate, and so you blend them into the mashed potatoes, and one could do something similar to that with the lutefisk. Lutefisk is enhanced with a great deal of melted butter.
Put a lot of butter on there.
Right. And so I heard someone talking also as a way to, in Norway, they also put bacon on it. That would give it some more flavor, character.
So tell me about the organization now. Why put on a lutefisk dinner?
It's one of the traditions of of the Norwegian people. Many years ago, people, because of lack of refrigeration, for example, were able to eat and store dried fish. And that's essentially that's what lutefisk is. And then the dried fish is reconstituted with water. And so that's what we had this evening. But it's part of people's hopefully fond memories, remembering of, in some cases, 60, 70 years ago of having a lutefisk dinner, perhaps at Christmas, at grandma's house. And this is one of those warm, cozy, comfort feelings. The people may not care for the lutefisk all that much, so they'll have a little taste, and that taste brings back fond memories of their childhood.
So it was fun that some people who'd never had a chance to have it here got to try it for the first time.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's such a feeling about lutefisk. There are people who like lutefisk and those who don't. And the all sorts of funny stories and caricatures and cartoons. You know, one of a Viking ship. And there's everyone crowded into the back, one end of the Viking ship, and it's almost going underwater, and the front way goes up. And the caption is the lutefisk is up front, you know.
Nelson Price, local author and historian, and host of Hoosier History Live, also attended the lutefisk dinner and gave his reaction to the traditional dish.
I had it when I was 12 years old in Norway. I'm of Norwegian ancestry. I remember not liking it when I was 12. They made fun of it over there, so I was expecting the worst, and it's actually good, I think. Did you like it?
I didn't mind it. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't... It was not my favorite, but I liked it. Yeah. So something must have been done. Secret sauce or something.
It wasn't nearly as bad as what I was led to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I've been told by other people there are ways of making it that are not as off-putting and all that. I love herring, which most Americans don't. I guess that's my Scandinavian heritage there. But this was, until tonight, something I truly didn't like. And I was surprised that they glommed onto this as a selling point. But obviously people were curious and came out for it.
What'd you think of the other portion?
Well, I hadn't had rutabaga in a long, long time. Yeah, all that I've always liked. It was the lutefisk that was the only thing that I didn't like. So it's proving anything can be made flavorful, I guess. I don't know.
Lutefisk dinner attendee Amy Balkin offered her take on the dish as well.
I've grown up eating lutefisk, but only at church because my mom refused to make it.
Now, why is that?
It doesn't smell good when you're cooking it, and my dad and I were the only people in our family that liked it, so we were the minority.
So what was how was this version? What did you think?
I thought it was excellent. Yeah, so it's very good. Yes, I'd recommend it to anybody.
It's not bad.
It's well, that's nice of you to say. That would actually be very northern Midwest to say that it's not bad. It could be worse.
And Sons of Norway Circle City Lodge President Tim Lisko, who hadn't had lutefisk before, provided a first-timer's reaction.
And I'm the lodge president right now, which really is the apprentice under Bert. That's he knows everything, and I just show up earlier most of the time to let people in the building.
So this was your first time trying the lutefisk?
Yes. I thought it would be offensive, but it almost had no flavor. It kind of had an aftertaste and no taste. And
what did you think of the texture, the gelatinous part?
It was almost more like a fruit. Like a, if you boiled grapefruit, it almost has pockets like that. It's bizarre. I've never had anything like it. It's space food.
but the taste wasn't horrible. You know, I was warned. No. I was really warned about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the people I've seen make faces have complained about the texture, but nobody has said it tastes awful. It just, it tastes faintly of fish.
We've been talking lutefisk with members of the Circle City Lodge of the Sons of Norway. For more information on the group, go to sonsofnorway5.com or look for the group on Facebook. From a celebrity chef book signing to interviews with local chefs and restaurateurs to a traditional lutefisk dinner, as you can see, there's a lot going on with local food in Indianapolis. So much so that we are adding a regular segment here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio to help you explore the local food scene even better. Starting next month, you'll hear a new segment called Get Lost with Sarah Risley. Sarah has been exploring Indianapolis and central Indiana with the goal of getting lost, of heading out to discover something new and finding out more about the area. I talked with Sarah about some of the places she goes and her get lost philosophy.
Well, I moved to Indianapolis in 1996 after I graduated from Purdue, and I've always been, I guess I describe myself as an adventurous. I like to plan events. I like to throw events. I like to advertise events. I like to attend events. So I think the biggest part about the event is just having a good time, being with people. I'm a people person very much so. So I'm always looking for a crowd. And that's just carried with me since I was a child. And I'm also a storyteller. So if I find something that I'm passionate about or I think is cool, I want to share it. I want to share it with as many people as I can. And that's from grade school, even show and tell is I always looked forward to show and tell days. And my little marketing cards right now even have, they say that I am the director of first impressions and a show and tell practitioner.
So that's nice. So you don't just like to go places, but you want to tell people about it too, right?
Exactly. And it's just a way that I think it's a great way to engage people, because once you start talking about an event that you've gone to, there's always a follow-up with something either in the same city, or if they're, you know, if they live in a different city, it's like, oh, well, we have this in Columbus, or have you been to this in St. Louis? And a lot of times it's around a festival, whether it's an arts festival or a festival of any kind, a chocolate festival. We do a great chocolate festival here in Indianapolis, and that's one thing that I try to get to every year. And most of the time I volunteer there, because attending events is one thing. Volunteering at them is a way that you actually are guaranteed to interact with a lot of people.
Now, tell me how the idea for Get Lost came about. Because you have a Facebook page, you have a Get Lost Facebook page. So tell me how that started.
It's kind of a funny story. I mean, I don't know. It's just something that my little creative brain came up with. But I think that if you're in a new place, the easiest way to get to know where you are is to get lost in it. When I go to different cities, I have found that the best way to see all there is to hop on public transportation and just take it and just ride it. I do not recommend getting lost in cities that you haven't been to. So hopping on public transportation is probably the best way to do that. But even in Indianapolis, they say there's nothing to do here. People that have lived here all their lives say there's nothing to do. I've been here almost 18 years, and I'll take a different street I haven't been on. I'll go to one of our donut counties and without any expectations and just be so surprised by what I find. Whether it's a shop or I was on a country road on my way to Wanamaker and I saw a farm of goats. And so, Jolene, I did a U-turn. I went back to that goat farm and the farmers were out. They probably thought I was crazy, but I talked to them and I told them what I was doing. And I went and took all kinds of pictures of their goats, and it made me feel good.
Well, I think that's very cool. And I like the idea of finding places that you haven't been, you know, within the city. So you kind of developed that
that affection for going out and sort of just seeing what you can find, and you turned it into a real thing now. So it's a thing. So you have this Facebook page where you tell people about your explorations, right?
Right. I do. And I also want it to be interactive. Believe it or not, I want people to tell me where to get lost.
Really, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So, you know, and I ask for that, or I'll say, hey, I'm going to Columbus. Tell me where I need to get lost. I've been there before, but again, you can't go to a city once or twice or three times and see everything there is to see. Indianapolis has so many hidden gems that even this past weekend, I met a friend at a coffee shop in Old Carmel, and I had no idea it was there because it is in the shadows of the Palladium. But there are, it was one strip, and it had so many different galleries and coffee shops, and just amazing. And I think those places are the places that really need to be found and have their stories told.
Absolutely. And I'm always surprised when people will tell me, you know, that they've never been to a particular place or that they don't know where something is that I love. And so I figure, well, you know, we gotta talk more about it. And we have to write more, write harder, talk more, and get the word out about this kind of stuff. And so to that end, you are going to be talking a little bit more with us on a regular basis here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio about your whole Get Lost idea. So we can look forward to some regular Get Lost segments, right?
Absolutely. And the funny thing is that getting lost is not just like getting lost on a road. One of the really fun parts about this, and because of this opportunity with you and WFYI, is that I get to interview people. And one of the questions that I leave them with, or that my final question for them is, how do you get lost? And a lot of times it's not in a car. It's in their craft. It's in their hobby. It's in their kids. It's in reading books. And so it's just interesting to hear. Everyone is so into their devices and digital this and digital that. And I think the question to them kind of even calms them because it takes them away, takes them to a different place. Like, oh yeah, how do I? One of my other favorite things to do when I get lost for myself is to walk in the woods. And especially this time of year, I love to find fungus.
Mushrooms.
Beautiful, beautiful mushrooms. And photograph them because they are quirky. And they, I feel like I'm always on the hunt to find things. And so that's really what Get Lost to. It's whether it's people or places, ideas, fun. Go without high expectations. And, you know, most of the time I'm really pleased by what I find.
So you're going to be talking to us over the next months as we go along about some of the sort of local food related kind of things that you come across. Can you tell me a few of the adventures that you've had so far, you know, in doing some of your Get Lost trips?
So one weekend in particular, I needed to get out of Indianapolis. And so I thought, I'm going to go to Cincinnati. And maybe this is what kind of spurred the whole, like, really local thing. But instead of going to Cincinnati, I pulled off and I went to Shelbyville. And I was so amazed by the square downtown. Shops, restaurants, candy stores, really, really nice people, artisans. So I took it from Shelbyville. And I went to Hope, Indiana.
Very little town.
Again, a nice square. I had different options of things that I could get lost in and find whatever there was to find. There was just the cutest resale furniture and
tea room combination that I was telling all kinds of people about, and unfortunately they have closed. So that happens. From Hope, I then went to Greencastle, and again was totally amazed by what I found. And you know, it was a whole day right here in our in central Indiana of finding things, and I didn't have to go to Cincinnati, and I didn't have to waste all that gas and maybe be there for a couple hours and drive all that way home. So,
well, I think that's very cool because there is so much going on in and around Indianapolis, especially when it comes to local food and artisans and restaurants and farms and shops and places like that. So I think it's very cool that you're out there exploring for all of us. So do you have some things on your agenda, some places you want to go or things you are looking to do in the coming months?
Well, this is a great season coming up, and there's a lot going on. The holidays here in Indianapolis are so very exciting. One of my favorite things to do is to attend the Yelp Bazaar, the Bazaar Bazaar. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, First Fridays in December is really neat at the Harrison Center. I love getting, talk about getting lost. That building and the Stutz building, you can go there.
Seriously, I understand. I've kind of gotten lost in those buildings myself.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes. So lost, definitely. But just getting lost in the crowd at the Circle of Lights. So definitely, there's a lot coming up that I'm very, very excited about and willing to share with my website, my Facebook friends and listeners here.
So, and if people have suggestions for you, they can go to your Facebook page, to your Get Lost Facebook page, and they can actually offer suggestions on where they think you maybe should go.
Exactly. And I hope they do go to my Facebook page, whether they have or, you know, if they're just looking for suggestions. I love to, I didn't think of myself as a nice photographer, but I love to photograph, and there are some great pictures on there. You know, some fabulous looking food that, too bad we don't have the scratch and sniff yet. It's coming. But see some pictures. You might even see some people on there that you know, because that's happened already. Somebody's gone to my page and they've messaged me that they, I mean, it's a small world. But yeah, I would love suggestions because there's a lot to find, but I want to keep going.
We've been talking with Eat Drink Indiana Radio contributor Sarah Risley. You can find her on Facebook to follow along with her Get Lost adventures and check out her new Get Lost segments in the coming weeks here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio. We talked a lot about tradition here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio this week, so I couldn't help but think about some of my Thanksgiving traditions as well. Personally, I'm with Mario when he said turkey for Thanksgiving, ham for Christmas. And I'm a pie fan too, and I have to agree with Chef Alan Sternberg when he said cherry pie. I don't make it very often. The kids' favorites of apple and pumpkin tend to take top priority, but I do like cherry pie. As for sweet potatoes, I can live with the marshmallows, although I do prefer my sweet potatoes just baked in the oven like a regular potato. Breakfast for me is definitely bacon, but I'm not a big pancake or a waffle fan. I'm surprised no one added in French toast because that's what I would pick over both pancakes and waffles. And I love biscuits and gravy. I use my mom's biscuit recipe and I make gravy the way I remember my dad making it. Stirring it with a spoon instead of a fork like my mom did, although I don't know why that makes any difference. And I definitely need to remember Mario's warning about biscuits and gravy. Only once a month. Now, I didn't ask about bread or rolls for holiday dinners, but around my house, it's definitely crescent rolls. And the kids want the ones right out of a refrigerated tube. I didn't ask anyone this week about green bean casserole either, even though it's one of those traditional Thanksgiving dishes. My kids especially like the crispy onions on the top. But honestly, it wasn't a part of my Thanksgiving meals growing up. My dad hated casseroles. But I married into a green bean casserole family, and I like it now, even with the much maligned versions with the canned soup. And I really like the crispy onions on top, too. Now, if it were just me, I would make dressing, starting with stale bread, and I'd try for something like my mom made. But no one's much of a fan of that around here. And they really aren't a fan of oyster dressing. I made that once just to try it for a newspaper column I was writing. And honestly, I was a bit startled at the green goo inside the oysters, so much so that I had to Google what oysters eat to see if that green color was normal. The kids really didn't go for the oyster dressing. But then, they're stovetop stuffing fans all the way. Now, when it comes to drinks, I prefer gin over whiskey, but I'll go with the old-fashioned over Manhattan. And I'm not a hophead at all, so I would choose a not-so-hoppy beer. But mostly I'm a red wine fan, though I've been trying to give white wines more of a chance lately. But whatever is your favorite, here's to a festive 2015 holiday season. Cheers! You've been listening to Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio on WFYI HD2 The Point. I'm your host, Jolene Ketzenberger. Thank you for tuning in this week for our Thanksgiving weekend program, and thanks also to all the guests on this week's show. Celebrity chef Mario Batali, local chefs Tom England, Alan Sternberg, Andrew Whitmoyer, Cindy Hawkins, and Ed Sawyer, farmer and restaurateur Chris Faggett, and Zach Wilkes of Wilkes & Wilson. Thanks also to Ted Danielson, Burton Bittner, Nelson Price, Amy Balcom, and Tim Lisko of the Sons of Norway Circle City Lodge Lutefisk Dinner. And thanks to Eat Drink Indiana Radio contributor Sarah Risley. And thanks to producer John Ketzenberger for helping to bring you Eat Drink Indiana Radio.